Blind Cool Tech, November 11, 2005. Hey y'all, how are you? I'm Larry Skukon, and I hope you'll join me on the walk to work this morning while we talk about a few things. One, got an email wanting me to explain a little bit more about the guide dog, and we've done that before, but we'll refer to those and talk to you about intersections and so forth. And we're going to go ahead and try to leave just a little bit early. Let's see what time it is. Yeah, traffic might be a little less. Finish up my coffee here. Bill Ballou wrote the people at M Audio a letter about the MicroTrax digital recorder and its lack of accessibility, and got an encouraging response. Anyway, let's put my jacket on. It's a bit chilly out this morning. A little windbreaker. Actually, I just use one of these little small bags that I got from Seats on one year. It's now my trusty horse. Keep the harness hanging on the closet door. You ready, little buddy? On old Jakey's head and the leash on his collar. Buckle up the harness. We're ready to go, my little buddy. Alright, I'll just go ahead and let him lead me to the door. He's a good doggy. Some dogs are different about that. I'm going to be beeping on my way to work. Let's change that around here. Okay. I actually put my book port in my bag to prevent any interference. And you know, I don't know if it's going to do it on this one or not, but I get interference right here. And I think it's from my sensor on my door from the alarm system. You know, it's a whole wireless thing, so. Alright, we're heading down the front steps on my brisk morning. Jake pauses at the steps. He's a good doggy. You can hear there's a few leaves out on the ground. I've got to do something about these walks are too distracting. You know, the traffic is too much in them. So I may need a different arrangement of microphones. I still would like to provide the ambience, but traffic is traffic. So Jake just took a right there. And I don't have to tell him anything because we do this every morning, and that really is the key to effective and harmonious use of a guide dog. And they told us this at least once while I was in training at Seeing Eye, but it's probably something they should repeat more often. And what that is that, you know, using a dog is like practicing for some kind of sport. You really have to pretty much do it all the time to be good at it. To be really good. Because, you know, the more you work with each other, like just then, Jake pulled over to the right, slowed down, good boy, and went around a recycling bin on the sidewalk. There, he just took a left while crossing the street. He pauses at the curb. He's a good boy. He's a good doggy. So if it's someplace you've been many times, you don't want to fight the dog, you want to follow the dog. Now I do give Jake verbal and hand signal commands if we're going to go somewhere different. Or if it's a if it's a place where there's an intersection that we may, you know, go both ways at different times, I can just say, right, left, or just point. And, you know, we've done it. So, who knows? Now, if you're in a totally new environment, you know, you don't necessarily know everything that's even around you, what your options are, and that's another fantastic way to use a dog, because they're really good, all the ones I've had, at following people or going down, you know, the biggest hall or the most likely way. So it really makes it convenient when you're on a flight or whatever, especially in an airport that you've been in before. You can usually just follow the people on your flight down to the baggage claim. Jake just slowed down right there too for just a small step up. Now he's got some tight spots up here with some overhead obstacles, tree branches. So he'll slow down and sometimes he twists his body over to the right to give me an extra signal, I guess. I don't know, or to look and see what we're doing. Speaking of accessibility on the M-Trax digital recorder, Kelly Ford sent me an interesting email and a link to about 1,000-page document on accessibility to consumer products, and I regretfully don't remember that Earl, but I'll tell you that it is.
Morning.
Hey, how are you? Well, we just crossed a little alley there, and Jake really didn't even pause or anything. It was a little curb cut thing, so. Had some really great response from the little walk we did with Marley. And a couple of emails with some suggestions about harnesses. And the most interesting one, though, is a wrist strap. I didn't realize they existed, so I'm going to have to look around. And apparently it's a strap that goes over each of you's wrist. You know, the parent or the grandparent and the child. And it's a few feet long and flexible, I guess, so it gives them a little more freedom boy, little buddy, is crossing over another street, and he just pauses, looks back on these, and I just give him a little hand signal, because these are all just little not too busy side streets. And Jake looks around as he walks, and he enjoys his morning walk. Just like I do. So this 1,000-page document was a research study done by, some university in Georgia. I don't remember the name of it. And I've started reading it, and how you doing? I'll have to tell you more about it after I get into it, but I'm glad to see so much professional effort in that area. Isn't that right, Jagsters? I'm getting jealous of these guys with these good recorders. That R1 is... I've heard some recordings from that have been phenomenal. Yeah, like I was mentioning earlier, I may need to do something about the microphone situation on these walks, because a lot of times traffic is so annoying, even though we do want some ambience. You know, I noticed last Monday, in fact, that can you tell which way that car was? Was that front to back or back to front? It's front to back. Yeah, I gotta remember to check that too. Monday and Tuesday of last week it was, school was out here. And oh my gosh, I've always noticed how much traffic school generates, but I bet probably didn't meet 5 cars on the way to work. And you know, it depends on the window time that you leave too. I actually noticed that between, if I leave the house at 6:45 instead of 6:30, it's quite a bit quieter. So I tried leaving a little earlier than 6:30 today, and it's fairly quiet. Now we're coming up to an intersection. This is a T-section, Bailey, and there's no traffic whatsoever. So I'm going to go ahead and go across. And, good boy, we're on the other side of the street. So, you know, I honestly don't know why they even put a traffic light there, but probably if you didn't know this area, you would want to stop there every time. But, you know, if you can clearly tell that there's no traffic, that's a little bit of a different story. Well, one thing I've noticed that would really help me out is on these podcasts, like I'm trying to get one now where we can release these individual articles and then just do like Jamie Paul suggested on the email list. We just crossed another street and traffic just paused at both sides. And put the pieces that, I don't know if you'd call them substantial, but they were long enough to just be their own piece. As separate feeds, like we've been, as separate files, like we've been doing on the feed already. Well, there was a little bit of talk on the list about not liking the ones that we did that were, you know, had four or five different things in them. It was hard to navigate, and you might not want to download all that. So, what I'm going to try to do, just like Jamie suggested, is, you know, usually let the files go through on the feed and then just compile some of the shorter ones, maybe combine it with some user feedback. Speaking of user feedback, we do have a winner for the mystery sound number 8, and we'll be playing that for you on, I'm compiling this show with some user feedback and some emails and a couple of short submissions, and that's where I was going with all this, is I guess I almost need to treat the sound editor. First of all, I need to become more familiar with it. But I need to, I'd like to treat it like I was working on a project. And I don't know whether each segment would be a separate file that would just compile at the end and maybe throw some navigation points in there. Or, just to insert as I go and, you know, manually put navigation points in there. The software I'm using has the capability to do that. But one problem is these files are so darn big. And another thing is it needs to be... Hey. There's another interesting thing we should talk about sometime, is the, what I always call the chicken phenomena. It's much easier to be able to, good boy, to identify the phenomena in the fall when there are leaves on the ground. But this happened to me a lot when I was in college. There's this tendency, as you're walking with a cane, or especially with a guide dog, for people to part the waters, so to speak. They'll get out of your way. Just like that guy did there. We're walking down the sidewalk and he goes around. Well, playing chicken is not yielding the way. But that's a very difficult... Good boy. Crossing another little side road. That's a difficult concept to communicate to the dog, and especially to the other sighted people that you want to avoid this behavior with. Because, you know, you have to talk to every one of them or put a big sign on your chest. Keep walking. It's funny, I can always tell when I meet someone who's blind, either on the sidewalk or on the at work, because they do play chicken with Jake, and he gives it to him. You know, he'll get out of the way. It's just that he figures it's easier if you do. Had a discussion with a friend of mine one time. Oh, we had a situation where we're walking alongside of a building and the doors to the rooms in this building open out. Someone flies through the door and hits you with it. Is there something the dog could have done about that to prevent that from happening? I mean, besides changing the behavior of what side of the sidewalk you're on, that you're walking on. I don't know that there's much a dog can do about that. Okay, we're coming up to Ewing Avenue now. You can hear the accessible signal, and I see I've got the traffic. So I'm gone. There's nobody on the side road. Well, this one's actually a four-way intersection anyway. So anyway, back to this doors opening out. If it turned into a problem where you continuously got hit or got hit more than once, you know, the dog would probably begin to watch those doors and either move to the other side of the sidewalk if it was possible, or go around them, you know, when he got to them. So, you know, your dog's behavior is completely, well, I want to say evolved. You develop a relationship where you all work together, kind of scratch each other's back, you know, and you watch out for each other. I don't know if that's the best way to describe that relationship or not. Because don't get me wrong, I know a dog can be obstinate and out of hand. One thing though, that another thing that Seeing Eye told me, they tell you lots of good things, and that is that a dog needs to know its place. You know, they're a pack animal. Alright, slowing down to the side street. This guy's waiting on me. There you go. Thank you. Good boy. Oh, he wasn't waiting on me either. Okay. So they're a pack animal. They need to have someone tell them what to do, or they need to be the boss. And you don't want to have a dog guiding you that thinks he's the boss. Now, I don't mean being cruel to your dog. And I don't mean correcting it either. I honestly can't even think of the last time I've corrected Jake. In fact, I did not really realize this until the last time I went to the Seeing Eye. I've been there 5 times since the early 80s. You know, I used to correct the dog for, like, every once in a while they'll cut a corner short and hit your shoulder on the corner of the wall or whatever. Good boy. Crossing over the side street. Jakey's a good dog. Yeah. But, good morning. I used to think that you were supposed to correct him for that, and that actually does not happen very often. But I learned this time that really what you want to correct them for is their instinctual behaviors rather than small mistakes like that. And what they mean by that is, you know, if the dog sees a squirrel or another dog or whatever, and it's almost like they can't help themselves, that's what you want to correct them for. And, you know, there's an art to correcting a dog as well. You don't make a dramatic scene out of it. You just give them a good leash correction and go on. I mean, theoretically, they're not even supposed to know it came from you. It's just bam, out of the sky kind of thing. Good doggy. So, one of the questions in this, that's it. Crossing another side street. And Jake just kind of looks back, and I give him a signal to go. Man, I forgot where I was going. I mean, verbally. Oh, one of the things that can help you decide whether you're right for a dog or not. And I also want to encourage you to realize that if you did have a dog that was a problem, don't let that shy you or keep you from trying it again at some point, depending on your situation, of course. Now, on the other side of that, if you don't need a dog, they'll make your life miserable, especially if you're not a dog lover anyway, because they're, well, very much like taking care of a kid, and sometimes a very bad kid. Okay, we're crossing here again. We've got the traffic. Good boy. See, since Frankfort Avenue is the main street here, I'm just walking along it. And when I cross Frankfort, yeah, I'm definitely going to wait for the signal. But if you've, if you've had a dog and you sent him back, that doesn't really say anything about you or the dog necessarily. I mean, it could have been a combination of you all's behavior, a situation, good boy, where you weren't using the dog on a regular basis to work with. And you know, a dog is a young, healthy animal. They need an outlet. So we just crossed another side street. About to cross the railroad tracks. Good dog. So, on the same, at the same time, doesn't mean the dog was necessarily bad if you didn't have a good experience with one. I've actually had two of my five dogs were sent back. They'd been with other students and came back, and the school thought they were good dogs. And you know what? They were right. They were good dogs. They were just high energy, big dogs. They needed, they had both been placed with a first time student. And those dogs needed somebody with, man, I hate to refer to myself as a little more seasoned. I'm not that old. But they did. They needed somebody that could control them. One of those dogs, in fact, is Jake. My little buddy. Yeah, when I got Jake, he's part lab and part golden retriever. And he had been, we jokingly refer to them as rejects when somebody sends one back. So I always call Jake my half-breed reject. My little buddy. Well, we should have stopped at the bagel shop this morning. Well, well. We may just do that. Although we're actually having to walk past it. And I don't want to cross right here because there's construction on the other side of the road. In fact, you have to, if you walk on that side, you have to walk out in the street. I think I've told y'all before, they're building some condominiums there. Ooh, that had this old neighborhood in an uproar for a while. It still does, kinda. So, if you're trying to decide if you're right for a dog, I think one of the first things you need to consider is taking a snapshot of your daily life as it is now, or as you realistically expect it to be. And not a, I'm going to change and this is how it's going to be kind of thing. So if you... We're going to cross Frankfurt here. And we got the light right away. Good boy. Good boy. Now, here's a good instance. Jake took a left. We're going to go right. Good boy. That's my doggy. We're waiting for the light. See, we normally go left when we cross that street. Okay. I just gave Jake the hand signal and we're going with the traffic. Good doggy. And instead of going left, I pointed to the right and said right. He turned right and stopped at the street. He waited for the lights and then I gave him the hand signal to go. Now we're walking down the sidewalk. We're going to get a bagel, by the way. We're not going to the dentist, little buddy. Good guess, though. We already did our open wide. Okay, we're going to stay left. We are going to stay left. There's actually a chain link fence on our left here. And if you're unsure, I can hear it, that I'm pretty close. If you're unsure, though, it's okay to go over there, yeah. Just, hey there. Let's go straight. That's it. No, we're going straight. There you go. So something was up in the fence. I thought that was Jake hitting it or me hitting it or something. Jake wanted to go in that building there, but we're going down another block. Back just the way we came from. Just so we can get a pumpernickel bagel. Steve Guerra, you dog you. If you haven't checked out his podcast, this guy will have you rolling. He knows his food. He knows his New York food. One of the things he recommended was a pumpernickel bagel with scallion, I think. We couldn't get that, so the lady recommended herb cream cheese, and it's very good. Okay, we're going to go left, little buddy. There you go. Good doggy. Oh, those onions smell good. All right. Oh, excuse me. Didn't mean to run you over there.
Okay.
Well, those onion bagels sure smell good, don't they?
Good job.
How old is your lad?
He's going to be 4 on Christmas Day, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a good boy, too.
Wow. I love labs. They're such good dogs.
This guy's actually half lab and half golden.
Half what?
Golden retriever and half lab.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
He just kind of mainly looks like a big yellow lab, though,
yeah.
Doesn't he?
That's a good combination, though.
Yeah. If not a little bit nutty.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what makes
if
him
we
fun.
We had one of those, I'd fit right in our head. Just that was really, and that is so long. Long time, is that system?
little buddy.
You can have a seat, though.
Yeah,
good dog. Good morning, how are you?
Well, how are you?
Great. I'll do the pumpernickel with herb.
Okay.
I don't need a bag or anything.
You don't? Okay. Is that it for you today?
That is it. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too.
Good morning.
Hi. Did you get your order?
The architectural glass art order? What's that? Yep. What's that? There you go. Let's go outside. Come on. There you go. There you go. Good boy. Jake thought we were going to sit down. Good boy. All right. That's my good doggy. So yeah, Stephen Guerra's podcast. This guy knows his food. He's a typical New Yorker, I guess. Not at all adverse to telling you his opinion, and he's great. But he talked about these pumpernickel bagels so much I had to try one, and I must say he's right. This herb cream cheese that I get is garlic and herb, actually. But I bet the scallion would be good too. So, back to the, alright, we're going back out into the street. Good boy. We're going to stay right. And we could use, like, that traffic noise ahead of us as a sort of a point of reference. And the other traffic that's on the road. And you can probably hear in these microphones. Good boy. Back off the road. And on the sidewalk. Good duck. So if you're going to be one who maybe walks one block to the bus stop, one block from the bus to work, good boy. Now we're crossing this road, and this is the one, good boy, this is the one where we came to, crossed and backtracked. It, obviously it's just a side road from Frankfurt, so there's hardly ever any traffic on it, and we tried the parallel traffic, so we didn't bother to wait for the signal. So if that's your situation where maybe you walk 2-4 blocks the whole day, I wouldn't recommend getting a dog. To me, one of the perfect environments, good boy, for a dog is college. Especially if you can, you know, if you can get some walk in on the route to or from the college itself, the campus itself. But the activity of going from class to class and doing other things, going out to lunch with people, going to games, plays, whatever, different clubs, library, that's a great, great way to get around with a dog. And believe it or not, the dog actually loves it. They like interacting with people. Hey. And some people, well, not everybody, but...
Good morning.
Morning. Not everybody, but a lot of people like dogs, too, and they're... Well, just like you saw back there in the bagel shop, they're a conversation starter. It's interesting how much more you can hear with the leaves on the ground. On the ground. I think my friend Gary and I have talked about that before. See, we're going to go with this light because... We've obviously got flowing parallel traffic. Good boy. And there was nobody at either intersection. But talking about dogs, Gary was suspecting that his dog was not... Well, he knew he wasn't coming to him when he was calling him. So he's out there one day and calls the dog, and he can hear the dog just walk off in the leaves. So it's... fun aspect of leaves and being able to get a little glimpse of something different. Same way, you know, after it's rained on the streets, especially while it is raining. I love that, where you can hear rain tapping on the parked cars or bushes or little puddles of water. It gives you kind of a sound landscape.
Hold it.
I'll have to record that for you guys one time. I certainly won't be doing it out in a thunderstorm like the last recording. Oh, as we're approaching APH here, I forgot to mention to you guys that all that construction is finished. And got some great new neighbors there to test access, or accessible test department. Good boy, little buddy. I see a few days ago, as we turned in right there, Jake clipped my shoulder on the wall. But, you know, we just stopped, and since then he's been much more careful about it. And we're just walking along the side of the driveway. And he's going to know where to turn up here. I don't have to give him any signal or anything. Or if I do want to turn, I see he's starting to go out away from the edge and towards the middle of the driveway, cutting across catty corner.
Yeah.
Well, and there's Martha and Perry.
There's Jake.
How y'all doing?
We're sitting out here cooling down.
Feeding my face.
Feeding your face? Yeah. Lunchtime already?
You know, Jake, he said, I feel Perry got something to eat.
Yeah, he says, I got to make a stop here.
He done already had his breakfast.
I said, from over all the time. I went back for bologna. I kept a piece of bologna, my sister's dog.
Yeah.
And he'd be eating something, he wanted my food, okay? I go, You know what to do?
What?
Take off.
There you go. You're scaring the dogs now, Perry. No, it didn't.
I'd be eating a bologna sandwich. Look, he'd be myself, dude.
Well, you keep them down there, Perry. All right, so we're going in the side door here. So yeah, this new area is quite nice. I actually haven't had the tour yet. Yeah, it'd be nice to take it and podcast it or something. Not that anybody would ever want to know. Good boy. It's a room display area. Squeaky floor. Going back into the plant. That was the cafeteria we just passed on the right. Probably hear the refrigerators and stuff running in there. Alright, we're going to bid you farewell. Thanks for joining us. Our comment line is 206-984-9203. Taking a left through some glass doors now. This is it, all the new area. Nice straight shot. Back to that door we always go in. Alright, y'all check us out on the web at blackcooltech.com. Have a good one. And we will see you next time. Have a seat there, Jakesters.